Grace and peace to you in the name and spirit of Christ on this Christmas Eve morning. This is Mayflower Congregational Church, and I'm Lorraine Finneson. We offer to you a heartfelt and unconditional welcome to our service, whether you are here in person or are watching on Facebook Live. Since I'm doing the announcements, you know that Pastor Mark is not here unexpectedly. He has been very ill since Wednesday, and it turned out to be COVID. After getting the Paxlovid medicine, he started feeling somewhat better yesterday, but will be unable to attend our services today. Our best wishes for a speedy recovery go out to Pastor Mark, who is watching from home this morning, and to others in the beloved community who have contracted this nasty strain of COVID. Very fortunately for us, Reverend Art Ritter was already set to preach this morning, and in what is rather, to me, a Christmas miracle, he is able to preach and lead tonight's Christmas Eve service. We are old friends with Reverend Art now, as he has preached several times and is teaching our Christian education series this year during After Church Coffee Hour. For those who don't know him, Reverend Art spent many years as a pastor of four congregational churches, most recently 13 and a half years at Meadowbrook Congregational in Novi before his retirement about 3 years ago. Reverend Art is currently the moderator of the NACCC. Welcome again, Reverend Art, and thank you. Let us now be in the spirit of worship.
The birth of Jesus is replete with contrast. The Christ child sent from the riches of heaven is born into the household of a poor carpenter. Though he possesses the universe, no one grants him shelter, and he is laid in a manger. The bread of life laid to sleep in a feeding trough. And although he was long awaited, his birth would go unnoticed if it were not for a chorus of angels rousing shepherds from their slumber. Terrified at first, the shepherds are awestruck by the sight and sound of these heavenly beings. Against a backdrop of dazzling light, their unearthly singing is a call to joy, their wings stirring up an infectious rhythm. Captivated by the song, the shepherds are led in a jubilant rush toward the stable. Unexpectedly, these tenders of sheep dance into the very presence of God's own Lamb.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
It only happens once every several years, but today is both Sunday and Christmas Eve. This morning, we observe the fourth Sunday of Advent, and tonight we celebrate the birth of Christ. While we hope you can return for this evening's service, both of our services represent a special day we have all been waiting for. The reenactment of an event which changed all of history and hopefully changes us. The birth of the Christ child offers hope where there is only despair, light where there is only darkness, and peace where there is only strife. Reverend Art will give us perspective today on the favor of God, certainly to Mary, but perhaps extending much further than we might think. We trust that the favor of God will rest upon each aspect of our worship today, including the music, scripture, prayer, fellowship, and the spoken word. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, today is a special day in our culture, in our families, and in our church. While each of these have their place, we ask you to give us a sense of where it all began and why we celebrate. As we continue in worship, help us to know that the joy of this day and this season can only be understood in the light of our honest laments and the deepest sorrows of our lives. This is the day we have set aside to remember, celebrate, and contemplate a God who comes in human form and identifies with our sorrows, yet who found joy in his mission. May all our celebrations this day be filled with joy, knowing that Christ has come into the world, has come into our lives, and comes to us now. Favor us now with your continued presence in our worship. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Today, we relight the first three Advent candles. The candle of hope, the candle of peace, and the candle of joy. Now, we light the candle for the fourth Sunday in Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us his most precious gift. As God is love, let us be love also.
In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And in the Gospel of John, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Unexpectedly, these tenders of sheep dance into the very presence of God's own Lamb.
Glory to God. In this season of Advent, we prepare for the coming of the gift of God's love, Jesus the Christ. Tonight and on Christmas Day, we celebrate the coming of that gift of God into our world and into our lives. The best way to return our thanksgiving, to live lives of thanksgiving, is to offer of that presence of God to those we meet, to those we encounter. We may do that through the giving of our gifts, through the work and ministry of our church. At this time, we remember and celebrate the gifts we bring to the service of God and the newborn King. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious God, it is good for us to gather as we prepare for the birth of your Son, for your coming to us. Today we remember through the story of the young girl Mary, how you provide the opportunity for each of us to bring your presence into our world. As favored ones, we are called to bring you to birth in our words and in our deeds. Today we pray that our eyes may be open to your coming, that our ears may be open to the songs of angels. We pray that we may have the wisdom and courage and faith to bear Jesus the Christ into being in our world in each and every one of our days. Be born in us, be brought to birth by us. In this season, we are well aware of the needs of our world, the needs of our families and our community. Today, we pray for health and healing for those who are sick, for those who need your touch. We pray for those who are hungry, for those who are cold and lonely, for those who face this day without purpose. We pray, O God, that we might deliver good news to those who seek it. We pray for our family gatherings and celebrations, that your spirit of love might be present in all things. We pray for those who are traveling in this holiday period, for their safety in the air, in the streets and roads. We pray for our world and our neighbors. We pray for peace in Ukraine, in Gaza and Israel. In this time in which we cling to the idea of peace, let it be so among us in parts of our world where violence and war rage. We pray for our leaders, that they might act for what is just and merciful, and that their choices might not be made for selfish reasons or political reasons. We bring our own prayer concerns, those things that fill our hearts and our minds in this hour, offering now the first name of those who require our prayerful concern. Oh God, we know that you hear the names and that you know the reasons, and we pray that you will touch each heart and each mind in this moment. letting them know of our thoughts and our concerns, and most of all, our prayers. We offer all of these things in the name of the coming one, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the gospel lesson tells of a familiar encounter, one that is acted out with joy and wonder in every children's Christmas program. God's messenger angel, Gabriel, comes to the favored one, the young girl Mary, presenting her with an impossible mission. What will Mary say? We learn from Mary's response of faith. The lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered, What sort of greeting might this be? The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. May God add blessing to this reading and our understanding of it.
A couple of weeks ago at our after-service Advent study, everyone did really well when I asked a question about the old television show Perry Mason. You remembered prosecuting attorney Hamilton Berger. So today I thought I would bring up another vintage television program, Mission Impossible. You remember it? All right. Younger people probably recognize the movie franchise of the same name starring Tom Cruise, but the television show was a classic, starring Peter Graves, Martin Landau, Greg Morris, and Barbara Bain. And at the beginning of each show, there was always a scene that involved Mr. Phelps, the leader of the group, and he listened to this tape recording that came from his superiors. And there was this mysterious voice describing a seemingly impossible task that Phelps and his crew were asked to accomplish. And the voice introduced the task by saying, The following is your mission should you choose to accept it. You remember that? To my knowledge, Mr. Phelps never said, No, I'm sorry, I just can't handle such a mission. That sounds way too hard. That'd have made for a lousy television program. Mr. Phelps always accepted the task. The tape would self-destruct in 5 seconds, And then the action would really begin. I can remember the smoke flying from that tape recorder when it self-destructed. This morning's scripture lesson describes the young woman Mary offered an impossible mission. She was told, not by a tape recording, but by an angel messenger, that she, although unmarried and a virgin, would give birth to a son through the power of the Holy Spirit. This boy would become great. He would be called Son of God. He would reign over a kingdom that would last forever. And all of this must have sounded preposterous to poor little Mary. Certainly more impossible than anything Mr. Phelps was asked to do in his Cold War espionage. Although Mary wasn't formally asked to say yes or no, she was given a chance to at least voice her opinion, to state her doubts, and perhaps lament the situation to which she had been called. Acting upon God's call, even when it ran contrary to human reason. In his book, Peculiar Treasures, Frederick Buechner paints this beautiful picture of the moment, the impossible mission articulated to Mary. And he writes of the angel messenger Gabriel saying this. He told her what the child was to be named and who he was to be and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. "You must not be afraid, Mary," he said. And as he said this, he only hoped Mary wouldn't notice that beneath his great golden wings, he himself was trembling. Trembling with fear to think that the whole future of creation now hung on the answer of a young girl. Indeed, the story is not really a divine imposition of power upon the world, but one in which Gabriel makes the power of God available. And then the heavens stand and wait in suspense to see if human beings are willing to participate in the mission. As I considered this passage again this week, this prelude to the Nativity, my heart was touched by a familiar phrase. It's been my privilege to preach on this scripture many, many times, and there's always something new that presents itself in the Advent message. And this week I got stuck on how in the angel Gabriel's conversation with Mary, he uses the phrase, "You have found favor with God." The King James Version uses the phrase, "Thou art highly favored." What a feeling it must have been for Mary to hear those words, even if she wasn't too shocked to listen. "You found favor with God." We don't know what kind of person Mary was before this conversation with Gabriel. Did she read the scriptures and pray four times daily? Did she engage in random acts of kindness throughout her village? Did she listen to and obey her parents even when she started dating that older boy, Joseph? Whatever it was with Mary, God was impressed. And because she was favored, God gave to her an important task: to carry the presence of God in her body, in her womb, and then deliver it to the world. I recall something that happened to me when I was a young teen. I did something I wasn't supposed to do. Typical teenager, huh? I was wandering around my parents' bedroom when no one else was in the house, looking for where they hid the Christmas gifts. I spotted my mother's diary beside her bedside, and I knew it was wrong, but I picked it up and began to read it. Most of the stuff was pretty boring. A lot of chatter about the weather, her work, the mundane stuff that filled a normal day. I read of some instances where my brother and sister and I had done some things that complicated her life or made her extra weary, but most of the writing about the children was positive. But then I found something back in the very first year of her writing that I will never, ever forget. My mom was writing on the eve of some tests that the doctors were about to perform upon my heart. And she wrote this: Artie's heart murmur appointment tomorrow. It's frightening. He's such a wonderful boy. I don't know what I will do if I lose him. I was stunned. I was humbled. I was honored. I was frightened. I knew my mom loved me, but this was more than anything I'd ever heard from her mouth. This was assurance, and I suddenly felt more important in her eyes. I suddenly felt highly favored. I put the diary down and never touched it again. To know you're highly favored is a life-changing moment. It alters your perspective on other people and on the world. There's suddenly promise that flows through you and your actions. You have the confidence God is with you, even in trouble and fear. You know the mistakes you make are not greater than the steadfast love of God to forgive those mistakes. And you understand you don't have to live to earn God's favor. It's already there. While favored, you know that something more is going to be asked of you. You know it's an awesome responsibility. And you know you are there to fulfill it. In the ancient story of Scripture, Mary was pronounced by the angel Gabriel to be highly favored by God. And in the current story of Christmas, as we prepare to celebrate, we are reminded that we are the Marys of our world. We are the ones invited to bring God's plan and God's presence to everyone. Centuries ago, Meister Eckhart wrote, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly but does not take place within me? And what good is it if Mary is full of grace and I am not also full of grace? And what good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to His Son if I also do not give birth to Him in my time and in my culture?" Whether you can imagine it or not, whether you like it or not, we are called to play the role of Mary in the incarnation drama. Having found favor with God, we're asked to carry the gift of God's presence through our unbelief, our doubts, and our fears into birth in our lives and activities. We may not feel capable of the task. We often don't feel like we are in that highly favored status. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not brave enough. We're not faithful enough. Maybe we would think God should move on and find someone else to handle the job. In her sermon on the Annunciation, Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that the angel came to Mary to announce what God was going to do through her, and Mary simply had to align herself with God. The job of the favored one may not be to go out and make something happen in God's name, but rather to point out and participate in what is already happening around us through the grace of God. Things seem to choose us when we're favored. Our best-laid plans are interrupted by life's events, sudden illness, surprise babies, aging parents, adult children, bad economy, acts of terror and hatred. But like that young woman Mary, our choices come down to aligning ourselves with God through it all. I will live this opportunity being held out for me, God. I will seek you with me in this crazy world of unexpected turns. Taylor writes that we can ignore God's stamp of favor upon us. We can be angry and bitter at what seems to be a difficult fate in life. Or we can align ourselves with God and recognize that we are highly favored and capable of doing God's work even in the difficult and impossible things that surround us. Brown says this does not mean that we're unafraid. This does not mean that we will throw away all of our doubts. Rather, it means that we're willing to participate and not let our fear keep us locked in our room. Each of us, as Mary, can smuggle God into the world inside our own bodies. It's interesting to me that after the angel visits Mary, she goes to her relative Elizabeth's house where she shares in the joy and mystery of her pregnancy. And then Mary bursts into song, the beautiful Magnificat that echoes the song of Samuel's mother Hannah in the Old Testament when Hannah learned of the pregnancy in her advanced years. And here the human drama becomes something of a Broadway show. In musical theater, I've learned the best way to put things in proper perspective and the best way to explain what's happening in the play is through a song. And that's what Mary does. She sings of the power and mercy of God, of what God has done and what God is about to do through her participation. And in this lovely song, Mary takes a distant, perhaps even abstract God, a God who's way out there, a God who lives only in books and stories written long ago. And she puts that God in the midst of her own life, up close and personal, even in her own body. And then she takes her story and puts it in the midst of God's story, the entire human drama. Mary speaks boldly about God and what God is doing, and she takes out a magnifying glass, the root word of Magnificat, and she examines the minutes, the hours, the days of her own existence. And in her song, she begins to notice and point out the places where the divine hand has touched her. That's what we're called to do in the Advent season, to open ourselves up to the promise of God's presence, to look at our lives closely, and to see those times and places where eternal and lasting meaning might seep into what might seem too fearful or maybe too ordinary. As we approach Christmas, I pray this story once again will touch your heart. Come to Christmas as Mary did so long ago, willing to allow God to work through you and to change you, recognizing the power and possibilities of God present with you each and every day. Come to Christmas ready for Christ to be born in you. You are a favored one. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for the story of Christmas, for the story of Mary, the favored one whom God used to bring the presence of Jesus the Christ into the world. O God, we are favored ones in your eyes also. We pray that we might trust in you and not step away or run away from what you have called us to be and to do in our lives and in our world this day. Help us to recognize that power with us this very day and in all the days to come, and help us to come to Christmas ready for Jesus the Christ to be born in us. In his name we pray. Amen. Through the story of Mary, we have been reminded that we are the favored ones of God. God comes to us, asking for us to perform a mission, to spread the news of Christmas, the birth of his Son, Jesus the Christ, throughout our lives, into our world, the good news of Christ's coming, the good news of God's love. God is with us. Amen. Go in peace.